And this morning, we hear Jesus say, I am the light. And our focus is hope. I invite you to listen, follow along with me as we read from the Gospel of John today, our text for today, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. As we hear God's word, it says to us, as he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with saliva, put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. The scene in our text today takes place in Jerusalem. It happens about this time of the calendar year. It is during the Feast of the Tabernacles, which marks the very end of the harvest and the agricultural year. The days in our text are getting shorter. The nights, well, they are getting longer. In our text for this morning, the world seems to be getting darker by the day. But the world is particularly dark for the man in our text who is blind. Born without the ability to see, the world has always been an extremely dark place to him. He has never seen or experienced light. For this man, there is no light, and therefore there is no hope. There is only darkness. Do you remember being afraid of the dark as a child? Maybe you still are today. Someone has said what is true for little people is also often true for big people. I know when I go walking at night and when I start to come back, we live at the end of a cul-de-sac and there are very few lights or street lamps on our cul-de-sac. And I notice my pace gets much, much quicker as I get to that very dark section of the walk. The dark can be frightening. It can be unsettling. Maybe you live alone in the most difficult time of the day for you is when it turns dark, when it's night. When we wake up in the night and walk around the house, things seem a little different, don't they? They look different. They feel different. A sound you hear at night might become unsettling and frightening to you in a way that it never would in the day. A dark world can be a frightening place to live. Does the world seem dark to you right now? Does this Advent Christmas season seem darker than normal? Where is light? Where is hope? Edgar Sandoval is the president of World Vision US. He wrote an article a few weeks ago. The title of his article was, "The Year That Put Hope to the Test." Sandoval begins his article with these words. How will the year 2020 go down in the history books? Maybe something like this. He writes, "A global pandemic infecting millions and interrupting daily life around the globe. Economics shattered, businesses shuttered, streets empties, no school, no sports, relationships related or reduced to computer screens. Many will see only what they have lost or what might have been. Others will lament about the damage done to our country by a virus that destroyed bodies and hatred that harmed souls. By those measures, 2020 was a very bad year." But, then he writes, "As I look back on this challenging year, I choose to focus on what God has taught me through it. That," he says, "is how hope is revealed." How hope is revealed. In our text, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Think about that. Before he healed this man, he told his disciples he was light. Before this man could see, before any rays of light entered into his eyes for the first time, Jesus talked about being the light of the world. It wasn't the first time he said that. A chapter earlier in John chapter 8, Jesus also said he was the light. In fact, the word light appears 24 times in the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John. What a great image for who Jesus is. Because we know light is essential for life. Take a healthy plant and put it in a dark closet and leave it there for a few weeks. Usually, it won't last. Human beings need light. We sit in the darkness and we shiver in the cold, unable to see. And we appreciate the warmth of the light. So many times I'll come home and find our little dog sitting in the one place in the room where there is light, warmth, light, hope. Without Jesus, this world is a dark, cold, indifferent place with no hope. You remember Mary and Joseph needed hope. In many ways, their world was extraordinarily dark. Think about the trip they took from their home, Nazareth, to Bethlehem. It was not a simple journey by any means for them. It was a dark, difficult path for them to trot. Today, by car, to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem, it would take us 2 to 3 hours, maybe. Most scholars believe it took Mary and Joseph 8 to 10 days. The most direct route from Nazareth to Bethlehem went straight through the Jordan Valley. Now, in addition to the difficult means of travel, walking, maybe getting to ride on a donkey or possibly a camel, and in addition to Mary being very pregnant, this route went through the despised region of Samaria. It was a dangerous place for Jewish people to travel. It was a dark journey. In addition, this was hilly country. Nazareth is 1,200 feet above sea level, but the Jordan Valley goes as low as 700 feet below sea level. And on the other side, the journey travels to the top of Mount Olivet, which is 2,800 feet above sea level. That is a rough way to travel by foot. Overall, the journey would have been close to 100 miles. Mary and Joseph needed light. They needed hope to make that journey. We are no different, are we? We need hope too. Different reasons, sure, but one person has written, "Hope is a vision for better days that changes us in the present." I love that definition because that last part is so important. So often we think about hope as just somewhere out there in the future. Hope certainly means tomorrow is going to be better. But it's not just that. It's not only that tomorrow is better, but that kind of hope changes us for the better today. You remember the blind man was able to see as soon as Jesus allowed light to come into his eyes that very day. You see, true light, true hope points to a specific person, Jesus. Hope is not wrapped up in a season. It's not wrapped up in a program. Hope is wrapped up tightly in a person. That's why hope changes us in the present. When we open our hearts to Jesus, the light of the world, then the power of God is available to us, not just to change the future, but to change our present reality. Do you need that light? Do you need that hope? Let me share with you this morning that if you feel somewhat broken, if you feel lost, if you feel confused, if you feel bewildered, remember this. The only reason the man in our text today could be used by God is because of his dark, broken world. A perfectly healthy, well person would never have been able to be used by God through Jesus' miracle in this text. The man's darkness was the very thing that gave him the unique opportunity to be used by God and to be ministered to by Jesus. It is through our weaknesses, it is through the broken places of our lives, that the work of God and the presence of Christ, the light of this world, come into our lives. In our darkness, Jesus becomes our light. Our faith teaches us that our lives are being shaped and transformed every day through our weaknesses. It is through our weaknesses that the light of Christ works in us so that we then become the people God wants us to be. It is like the clay that Jesus makes and places on the eyes of the blind man. We are clay in the hands of God, our potter. And it is through our weaknesses that God makes us whole. As our light and our hope, hear this good news. Jesus is bigger than we can think. Jesus is greater than we can imagine. Nothing is beyond his ability or capability. Whether it is a problem in your life to solve, a marriage to reconcile, a memory to heal, a guilty conscience to cleanse, a sin to forgive, a business or a job to save, a budget to stretch, a boss to please, a job to find, a habit to break, an addiction to overcome. All are within the power of the light to be fixed, to become whole. That is our hope. If the living word and light of God has the power to create and sustain the universe in which we live, how could we possibly think that God's power is insufficient for the needs of our lives? Barbara Brown Taylor recently shared a devotion that focused on hope. She wrote, "A few weeks ago, I passed a banner on Peachtree Street in Atlanta, and it said, quote, 'Only in the darkness can you see the stars.' That's pretty," she writes. "I thought that was pretty. It sounds like a line from a poem," she says. "And then I looked down at the bottom of the banner where it said, 'Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., one who learned to keep picking up the pieces of life, to keep believing even when things are dark. He learned to see in the dark.'" The Christmas prayer reads, Lord, years ago you hung a star from the floor of heaven to guide the humble and the wise. Only you could have thought of a star. You knew we could not reach that high. You knew that there was nothing human beings could do to halt the majestic marching of your star. There was nothing we could do to dim the light from its glorious shining. Your hand reached out and pulled down the dark curtain of night because you knew when the night is the darkest, the light shines the brightest. So the joyful glow of the Christmas star came to little Bethlehem, telling us that no place is unknown to you, O God. And the star still shines brightly, making every Christmas a midnight clear. Thank you that if we listen carefully, we can still hear the angels sing. This morning in this upside down world, do you need hope? Do you need light? Receive the good news that comes on the lips of our Savior. The good news that reminds us the night that Jesus was born was the night that conquered all darkness. The good news that reminds us it was the night that the light ushered in a new kind of day. This was the night when those who sat in darkness saw a great light. This was the night that enabled a blind man to be able to see. This was the night when God brought into this world the one who is the light of the world. And this one, this Jesus, enabled not only a blind man to see, but he gave light to everyone who sits and lives in darkness. And today the good news is he gives that light and that hope to each one of us. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, for the good news of your word, we are so grateful. Lord, we thank you this day that because you gave Jesus to us in the form of a baby in a manger, you enabled light to come into the darkness of this world. You enabled us to have hope and light in the dark places of our lives. And Lord, we're grateful that because we are your children, we get to sit in that one spot in this world where light shines so brightly and warms our lives and gives us hope. So today, Lord, fill our hearts with the good news. Help us to know and understand the truth of Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.